Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and you can listen to the streams at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com or Google Vinnie Eastwood Chat. There's a wee chat room in there. I can't check the chat during the live broadcast when I've got somebody on Skype on the webcam behind me, though, so don't expect my participation. But if you want to hang out in there with other listeners to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, go for your life, son. I'm sure it'll be fun. Now, what was I thinking about over the break? Ah, damn, it's gone. All right. The theme song that we started off with back in 2010, done by Unity Pacific. The song's called Unity. It just played here in the segment of the second hour here. It's about peace and love, harmony, solidarity, right? And if I remember correctly, I am attempting to bring solidarity to people by giving everybody this platform, by talking about pretty much any subject that's under the sun, whether we'd be talking about stuff like chemtrails or aliens or spirituality or Freemasonry or alternative health or 9/11. Doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, it's all open slather. Nobody's got a monopoly on the truth. And you may as well talk about it, because look at it this way. If knowledge exists, even if it turns out to not be true, it's usually like a story. A story, even if it's fictional, can still be a really good story that can teach you some very, very fundamental truths. And if you want to support this show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, 5 days a week, bringing on New Zealand activists and researchers from all over the globe, go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com and click donate. Or give us a couple of dollars a month, whether that be $5 a month, some people are doing $20, some $50, some $100 a month, into the bank account even, because that way PayPal doesn't even get a slice of it. You will fund this operation. In fact, you, the listeners, have been funding this operation entirely for not less than 2 years. I've been surviving solely on your donations and your kind support for upwards of 2 years. In that 2 years, we've been doing a shockingly large amount of shows and work that would not have been accomplished in any way had it not been for your support. And we keep consistently improving the program, adding in more video content, more interviews, more scumbaggery being exposed. It's just good investing. All right, you're investing in your alternative media movement by investing in me, because I help everybody in the alternative media that I can. It's pretty straightforward. Right, now, back to my very special guest, Mo Badad, who makes his own money. And in fact, Mo, people have criticized me because I can't actually take the time to go out and make my own money, per se. I instead do a whole bunch of charitable sort of work, and as a result get donations for it. You're doing something different. You're actually making your own money. You're actually helping people, financially speaking, with LoanSafe.com and also
actually,
in your spare...
.org.
Yeah, and on top of that, you are, in fact, becoming a highly respected researcher in this field. Now, I believe you're getting now very close with Jordan Maxwell, who's maybe entering towards the end of his lifespan, and apparently he's passing on a lot of his research to you. Is that right?
Well, yeah, we had discussed that. I don't know if that's true still. He kind of went on a hiatus not too long ago. I had various interviews with him, I think about 4 or 5 on Gnostic Warrior. And that was actually the start of the Gnostic Warrior podcast. And my thing, I wanted to focus on Gnosis and Gnosticism. And Jordan was one of my first guests. And, you know, I had, of course, you on and Santos Bonacci just recently. But from my understanding, you know, I actually went out to Burbank and we met and we had dinner and went back to his pad and we talked for several hours. He showed me all his archives that he had in his computer. He showed me his Manly P. Hall archives that he had, and he's talked about several times, and I saw them and touched them with my own hands. So it is real. He is a real person, And he does live in a bedroom in someone's house. He has a little mattress on the floor, you know. And I haven't talked to him in a couple months. And what people need to understand about Jordan, and I've only known him for a little bit of time, and you know, like you from you know the various podcasts and seeing him on YouTube and him over the years, is that he kind of goes in and out of public eye and. You know, talks to people here and there, and he'll show up when he wants to. So that's where he's at right now, I feel. He's had a lot of problems with various people over time. You know, I don't know. You know, some people say it's, you know, him taking advantage of them. And then, of course, he says it's them taking advantage of him. I don't know the truth of everything. I didn't investigate
it. Look at it this way. If he was the one taking advantage of somebody else, would he be living on a mattress on the floor?
No. What I do know is that he's had some issues before where he has problems with earning money because he can't doing what he's doing. And if you guys want to research that out there, you can yourself. It's public on the public domain. I'm not going to throw Jordan on under the bus because I have a soft spot in my heart for the guy. I love the guy for what he's done. You know, and like me, I made mistakes in my life, and I feel. He made a mistake, and that causes him to only limit the amount of money he can make in this field. And again, go check it for yourself. Go Google it. Not everything you find out there, of course, on the internet is true, but you actually could read about this yourself direct from the entities that were involved in it. And I think that's kind of the main reason he can't earn a substantial living or have bank accounts and stuff like that. And then he has had other issues, of course, with people, business dealings, where they almost essentially own him because they help him out and lend him money, is my understanding. Almost like a bank. You know, if you're to get money to do your show, Vinny, and you're to go under some guy and he's to say, hey, Vinny, you know, I'm going to lend you money for X amount of time, but there's conditions. That's a contract. And I think he went into some of these contracts that he really didn't know what he was doing, or he did, and they've come back to bite him, and that's where he's at now. So that's why he doesn't have jordanmaxwell.com anymore. It was taken over by one of these business guys that he had worked with, and this guy claims that, of course, he was the one that was a victim of Jordan, as opposed to Jordan being. Of course, when you talk to Jordan, it's a different story. So I don't know. I don't know. He never tried to do anything to me. I didn't think he was shady. He was definitely hard to get a hold of sometimes, but researchers are. You'll learn in this field is we're neck deep in our research and doing things and busy. But I think he is getting older. He's, I think, 73 when I met with him just this past 3 or 4 months ago in Los Angeles. And he's still getting around. He's walking around, and he looks pretty healthy. The guy's super tall if you've never met him in person. I know you're tall, Vinny. I think he's like, I don't know, 6'2 or 6'3. So that was kind of a surprise. But he was really a nice guy. And, you know, I wish him the best. And even if he made a mistake or whatever happened out there, it's, you know, we all make mistakes. And I think he's repented from it, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, as long as you do that, I feel if you make a mistake and you move on and you're sorry for what you've done and you don't repeat those same mistakes, then I feel that, you know, you're good to go. You know, all of us make mistakes and we're not perfect. So that's the story of Jordan and me.
Yeah. Sounds like Jordan did a deal with the psychopath and didn't know they were a psychopath until afterwards, because that's what they tend to do. They come in and they promise you this, they promise you that, and blah, 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 blah. None of those promises ever eventuate, and then when you start to expose them for being the bearer of false news, they wound up saying that you're the bearer of false news, you're the psychopath, you're the one who's the manipulator, I'm the victim.
Yeah, what I think it's all of that, and we get confused being, you know, in this matrix, you know, and I feel a lot of it deals with money. I don't think money is the root of all evil, but it sure is a lot of damn evil comes from money, and what it does to friendships and to people, it's just horrendous. And I think people sometimes take that lower path as opposed to the higher path in these business relationships. So, you know, maybe he had good intentions at first, but you literally are acting like a bank if you're loaning somebody money with conditions, and almost it's almost like a slave contract if it's a contract on a person, you know, in their livelihood. So so it's just it's a tough thing.
If somebody's going to be, if somebody's like a researcher or they're just doing what they're doing anyway with or without your help, I don't think you need to put conditions on a contract or to give them some money, you know? Yeah. I mean,
and
you just...
I agree, Vinny, and that's, I think, what you would do with someone if you had the money and you were in a position to lend it to somebody, and I would feel the same way, and I would do the same way. It's, I think, that ethics and morality that we have within, and some people, it's just business is business. You know, if I make a contract with you, it don't matter. I own your ass, you know, and that's how... Yeah. You know, but they're never going to word it that way, and that's maybe why he calls himself the victim, and woe is me, I lent him money, and he screwed me, so now I own his website and screw him. So that's basically it in a nutshell. It looks like he lent him money, Jordan didn't pay him back, or it didn't pan out, or something had it, they had a falling out, and then he ended up owning the website, and all his products that he created over the years are pretty much that kid's owns them. He's, I don't know who I forget the guy's name, but...
Whoa.
Go ahead.
Dude's coming out saying he's a victim of Jordan Maxwell and also currently owns everything that Jordan Maxwell has done over his 70 years. Oh, I'm the victim.
Yeah, I don't, again, I don't know what was said. We all have free will, and this is unfortunately what people don't realize. And no one, everyone, it's a business deal, just like when you get a loan from the bank. You know, they're your friend when you need money, but when they want to get their money because you owe them money and they're foreclosing, they're the evil bank. And, you know, so there's this paradigm. We got to understand that it's a contract and it's a business contract. Pretty much every deal we enter into is a business contract. You with American Freedom Radio, it's a business kind of arrangement, even though, you know, however you got it set up, it's a business arrangement. And everything we do, because we're governed by money, and we talked about earlier, you know, we're all slaves, is it's a business arrangement because we're de facto got to make money when we turn a certain age. And if we don't, you know, and that's where people take sometimes the lower path and their morals and their ethics go out the window, and they'll do things like this. And it doesn't matter if the guy's 70 and he has all this work, a deal is a deal. And unfortunately, a lot of people think like, and those are the guys that are rich. And Vinny, I think you probably know that. Those are the sharks out there. And they're the guys on Wall Street. They're the guys driving BMWs. Those are the guys that are making $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. And that's nothing to them. You know, we're making 1% of that or 0.5% of that. And they couldn't even fathom living off of that. And they never would do what you're doing because they're taking the lower road. They're taking the materialistic lifestyle. They're not listening to their higher selves. So
yeah, well, see, I unfortunately had a lot of bad business experiences as an employee, and in so doing, I physically can't be an employee. You know, physically, I actually have panic attacks if I'm about to be employed. So, I think this is something I could have conceivably made probably $1 million by now. Right, if I kept doing what I was doing, the problem is my conscience and my heart and my soul were screaming at me, don't do it. And I couldn't ignore it because you can't get away from your conscience. You can't get away from your heart. You can't get away from your soul. It's in your ear all damn day screaming at you.
That's what I'm saying, Vinny. Right there, there's a war for your soul, brother. And you took the soul the higher path. And I feel when people cross that line, that was that line crossing where you went with the light and the truth, brother. So that's where I'm feeling that when we cross that line and then we don't listen to that, that's where we may cross hellfire when we die or whatever happens. And so...
Well, I hope that many people cross the line, and the problem is it requires trauma. Like, it's actually a requirement. You don't... I have not yet met anybody, Mo, who has achieved anything important in their life that hasn't gone through trauma at some point. I don't know. Can you think of anybody? I don't. I mean, even bad guys who've achieved billions of empires and stuff, like, say, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or whatever, you know, you read their biographies and you have a look at all the people that were mean to them or screwed them over or something like that. In some cases, they were mean and screwed each other over and stole this technology, stole that technology. So it's either this is the road to success. You either become traumatized and then you get over it, or you traumatize others and steal their ideas while they're getting over it.
Yeah. No, we live in that type of society where it's a dog-eat-dog world, and it's kind of what used to be where we would just steal each other's stuff or pirate it, which is still happening on the higher levels, but on the lower levels, it's almost business, on a business level, and you... If you want to make a lot of money, you got to be pretty ruthless. I don't know a lot of rich people that aren't ruthless a little bit in their dealings. And, you know, a contract is a contract. You know, so as far as the ethics and the morals go, it all depends on us, on what we're willing to do with these contracts and these businesses. And you know, went with your higher self by deciding to get out of the business that you were in. Because I could tell, Vinny, you know, with the way you could talk, you're a great salesman and you could probably sell anything. And if you were smart, you'd sell the highest ticket item if you wanted to be rich. But that's not your goal, you know, and you're a testament to that. You're what I would call a podcasting monk, basically. You are. So
otherwise known as a punk.
There you go. You know, so you're basically living like the life of a Jesuit, you know, the priesthood, even though you're not a Jesuit or part of the Jesuit order like Pope Francis. You're living that humble lifestyle where you're serving mankind and you're living off donations. And that was basically the way the priesthood, the Jesuits, Freemasons, and a lot of the different orders used to work, strictly on donations, and they would serve their communities.
Yeah, so, before they got corrupted and wound up creating money out of thin air and destroying communities, you know? It's amazing how money can corrupt you once you've got enough of it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the summer schedule. We're trying to get all the new songs and everything put up there to help all of you Americans and all of those in the Northern Hemisphere be reminded that at least it's summer somewhere. My very special guest is Mo Bedard. Now, we were talking about work and the reason why people find their different careers, and, you know, the suffering and the pain and the skimbaggery and what have you. It kind of forces you into these sort of things, and it becomes almost like your choices get made for you. Now, you mentioned fate and destiny before, Mo, and I don't believe necessarily in the same type of perspective of fate and destiny that some people believe. Some people believe that their fate or destiny is predestined. It's fatality, right? Whereas I believe it's only retrospective. You look back on yourself and you go, ah, that must have been my destiny. Ah, that must have been my fate. And it's merely a justification for where you are right now.
Yeah, I don't look at it as every action is pre-planned and predestined before you arrive on Earth, but I do believe that there are certain things that happen for a reason, and we get to a certain point in our lives for a certain reason, and I believe that we have a higher self that guides us, and that's different than our bodies and our rational mind, and I feel that was what was talking to you. You know, when you were at that sales job and you were doing scumbaggery and you realized it after a few checks that this is something that I couldn't live with myself with, you know, and that was your higher self.
it wasn't me that was committing the scumbaggery, though. Like, I always did it real honest and real good, and I made more money than all the dishonest and real bad people. That was what was ironic to me. And it just was the fact that I couldn't bring myself to continue to be around scumbags. Not when I wasn't one.
No, I agree. I had a similar experience when I sold real estate and mortgages. So I know how it feels. And there were guys making a ton of money, you know, $30,000, $50,000 a month. And they were doing some scumbaggery trickery, you know, with the loans to make them happen. You know, and that was the difference between what I was making. And I was doing well, $10,000 a month and some $20,000 a month. I was working hard and I wasn't doing any of that scumbaggery. But just being around it, you know, just I couldn't like live with myself, and I didn't really like the business and anything about it. So you know, like yourself, I started listening to my higher self, you know, and it's something I didn't do when I was younger, you know, and I made some bad choices in regards to drinking and drugs and so forth. And I feel that, you know, my higher self was talking to me at those times and I didn't listen to it. So I almost believe where that's that duality, you know, even though we got to combine the two. And I feel the Freemasons, you know, teach that, and the Rosicrucians, it's combining, you know, the male and the female, which I believe is your soul and your body. That's the what they're talking about. And you make them one. And, you know, your calling is something that, you know, you like to do, and your heart finds joy at doing, you know, regardless of the amount of money you make doing. Doing it, you know. So I found a way to do that with LoanSafe, where I'm actually helping people in the finance industry. And because of that, you know, that it's not truth and just dealing with what we're doing, it's a more high paying advertising kind of thing. So even though I don't really get donations, I get advertising dollars from Google AdSense. So those kind of pay high because I own a website and a forum that deals with that. And so what you might see here as far as advertising dollars or donations, I could see quadruple to 10 times that because it's in the finance industry and we're dealing with high dollar volume mortgages and so forth. So there's things that people could do out there to make money in the truth movement that is good money. You know, I know you can't be a gazillionaire, but, you know, I feel that my website, loansafe.org, is proof of that, where I'm giving away knowledge and free help to people that are facing foreclosure every single day for free. And then I'm still able to earn a living doing it, and a decent living, you know. And yeah, of course you're doing it as well for what, 2 years now, where you're just living strictly off of donations. So I think we're living testaments of that. You know, there's a lot of other guys out there doing kind of the same thing. So there's definitely ways to make money doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think this is an emerging industry now, and some people have said, oh, it's the truth movement industry, and they measure that in a bad context, and they go, well, okay, well, hold on a second. Who do you work for? Well, I'm a teller at a bank. Well, let me get this straight. You work for the very evil scumbags that are destroying this world with their ability to create money out of thin air, and we're bad because we give away knowledge for free and try and survive on the bare minimum.
Yeah, that's just the mind control that people are under. And I know you know that, Vinny. And it's the things that we're up against. And that's why we love the internet and we love having websites. Because to just do it, you know, in your town, it would be tough. I know you're doing it on a more, even a worldwide scale, not just in your country there in New Zealand. And then my show, you know, I see the downloads. I'm getting from 100 to 200 downloads a day of my podcast, and it's from all around the world. You know, of course, more is in America, and I know you're seeing more viewers in America, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think UK is second, and then it goes from there. So it's great that we have the podium as far as the worldwide internet to do these things. And I'm sure your donations come around the world as well.
Yeah, that's true. One of my big donors, Gert, who lives in Germany, whenever I'm in trouble, he'll send me like €500, you know, and that's enough to pay 2 weeks' rent, and then it's freaking gone. But so, It occurs to me, like, whoa. Somebody's actually willing to give 500 euros to a person that they've never met because they appreciate them that much and want to help them out? I suddenly realize I have really important work to do then. Now I need to work even harder in order to earn it.
Definitely. Hey, maybe you have gazillionaires out there that love you, Vinny. So maybe in these donation drives that you do, you know, hey, some of you guys that are multimillionaires out there, you know, if you could throw a million my way or, you know, 100,000, you know, never shoot for the sky. Why not? Right.
Why not? My somewhat fabulous former producer, Mitch Santel, who's at imagineyouandmedia.com, for anybody who wants to be mentored into having your own media entity like I have by him, you can do the right thing and get rewarded for it, just so long as you keep an even keel and you don't let it corrupt you, because that's another thing as well. Being corrupted is something that we're all susceptible to, all of us. At no time is anybody immune to being corrupted, right? That's my perspective on this. And so I put a whole bunch of checkpoints in place, you know. Self-questioning, for example. Have you ever heard of The Ballad of the Cosmic Schmuck?
No.
No, well, it goes like this. If you think to yourself, Am I the cosmic schmuck in all of this? You know, cosmic meaning big, schmuck meaning idiot. If you're questioning yourself like that, it's very unlikely that you'll actually become the cosmic schmuck. However, if you never wonder to yourself, if you never even have the inclination, the little thought in your head, am I the cosmic schmuck? Then it's quite likely that you already are. You know, it's like being a cliche, for example. Me and Sarah were driving around one time, and we rolled past these guys who were in a lowered Nissan Skyline. They were all wearing starter caps and hoodies and listening to loud music. And we looked at each other and we said, do these guys realize that they're a cliche? And the answer is absolutely not, because they never ask themselves, am I the cosmic schmuck?
That's a great analogy, because when you had said that, I actually go, am I the cosmic schmuck? What's he talking about? You know, I thought you were making fun of me here. But no, it's true. We have to have that self-doubt and not always be overly confident and you know, be wrong sometimes. So, you know, I like that analogy that you use. And I always was like that growing up myself. You know, I was trying to find my way. I was, you know, maybe that guy in the starter hat one time. And then, you know, a year later, I was, you know, new row or whatever the new fad was. And I was just trying to be something I wasn't, you know. But I was always asking myself when I would get in the gear or whatever, I just, this isn't me. This isn't what I want to do. And I'd done that all my life. Like, again, I'm 42 years old. And I've had many different jobs and careers. And I finally, you know, being my own boss, owning my own websites where I'm allowed to make money on the internet, you know, dealing with truth, and I don't have to, you know, give up my morals and so forth or ethics to do it. It's great. And it feels great. And I never would do anything else. So if I had to, you know, I would be doing what you're doing and, you know, living on a shoestring. You know, but thank God that, you know, I started Loan Safe, where I'm able to be in a different position. And I think that's the guy in Germany who is probably, you know, doing something where he's making money in an ethical way, where he makes really good money in Germany, and he's able to help you, you know, maybe not give it to you every single month, but he's able to throw you a big bone like that here and there when you really need it. And it's great. If you didn't have the internet and you didn't have the worldwide access that you have, you wouldn't have that. So thank God we all have that right now, or whoever that is out there, that we're allowed to do this. And I think we are building this new generation, this new future, where we're going to be the Glenn Becks. And who knows, it might happen in 5 years or 10 years where this system is torn down, or it could be 100, who knows. But we'll be in a good position, and especially you, Vinny, if that ever happens, where, you know, you might make, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 to pay your bills, which is nothing. I know now to live on, it's hardly nothing. I mean, those are a poor man's wages. And I know I'm not making fun of you, but I know you're happy to pay your bills, you know, but maybe in 5 years, it'll be, you know, 5,000 you'll make a month, and you'll be able to maybe get a house with your girlfriend and get married and hire a couple guys to work with you. Because I know that's what you would do if you had that excess money. You would get the equipment and people to work with you. But also, you need to have a good time and treat yourself good as well. Because I know you work really hard. I think 12-hour days is typical for you every day?
More like 14, 15.
So, and a lot of people don't realize that. It's a lot of hours and it's not a lot of money. So I think the future is bright for people such as yourself and other people that are doing this if they continue doing it. I just don't know when that date's going to happen. But it seems like it's going to happen sooner than later. I know you've seen the regime change at the top of the U.S. military. So there, I feel, is another sign of this new age that we're in, where I had talked about, you know, we have this new pope and we have these new things happening. I feel part of that, they have to get rid of the old regime. And what better way than to get rid of the most high security personnel in all the world? And they start with the U.S. military. So I feel those are signals to us down here that things are changing and they're just going to happen slowly but surely. And I think every week we're getting something new out that's happening on top of the normal conspiracy stuff that we always hear, you know. But to me, those are positive changes that are happening. And we could talk freely down here, you know, as long as we're not a threat, which I feel we're not, by spreading knowledge to the government, and we're not wanting to cause them harm. We're just want to protect our children and our grandchildren and not be poisoned by food and the air we breathe. You know, that's not free will. That's not the opposite of free will. So yeah. I think those are the things, the fights that, like, you take, Vinny. It's like, okay, the GMO, you understand that. You can go eat organic, but this chemtrail shit, you know, it's got to stop.
Yeah. Well, I think I saw a great little picture on the girl against fluoride this morning. I was just posting up this little fluoride video that I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night making. And it has a woman sitting there giving testimony. It looks kind of like a, you know, one of those congressional hearings that you have. And she said, "I can't fathom why wanting clean water makes me an activist. I also can't fathom why putting chemical weapons in the water supply doesn't make you a terrorist corporatist."
No, that's how old was this girl?
I don't know. She's older. I think she's been an activist in the movement for a while. But it occurs to me that this is the interesting juxtaposition that we find ourselves in. It's this moral question of whether or not you want to give up all of your creature comforts so that you can endure a little bit of pain and suffering, a little bit of ridicule, just so that perhaps you don't get poisoned by a soft kill bioweapon in your water.
No, what's sad is that no matter how much we speak up, it seems like it's not stopping. But I think it's people such as this girl that you just talked about and many other people out there that are making videos or having a blog or a podcast or whatever. You know, we're educating people and we're reaching people that will now learn. I only drink distilled water now. So a lot of people don't understand that. They just drink, you know, hey, I'm not drinking the fluoride water out of the tap, but did you know that the water out of the bottle is just as bad unless you get distilled water? Because distilled water gets all the metals and the impurities out of it. So only drink distilled water if you want to save your brain from all those chemicals as well.
Yeah, I just started the distilled water regime last week, but it's really, really hard to try and consume a gallon a day. You know, I got up to the point where I was like 5 days in a row managed to do the whole gallon, and then I just kind of like slipped back after the week, and I'm building myself up again. Yeah, it's a process. We'll be right back.
If you place a thing in the center of your life that lacks the power to nourish, it will eventually poison everything that you are and destroy you. As simple a thing as an idea or your perspective on yourself or the world, no one can be the source of your content. It lies within, in the center. I'm moving mellow while you're thinking to slide through.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment here with Mo Bedard from GnosticWarrior.com? Or is it .org?
It's .com.
Okay, so you've got GnosticWarrior.com, which is your organization, and you've got LoanSafe.org, which is your company.
Actually, no, there's another company behind them all.
So. Oh, right. So it's like playing a shell game.
Multifaceted, yeah.
Hey, this is another important thing about being multifaceted as well. There's an article I read a number of years ago coming out of Natural News saying that over-specialization turns you into an idiot, right? If you're only an expert on one thing and one thing only, it means that you're a moron in everything else. like you have these brilliant particle physicists and what have you, and they're like changing the world with their discoveries and what have you, and then they go to the cafeteria and start eating burgers and fries for their lunch to fuel them. It's like, you dudes don't know nothing about nutrition, you don't know nothing about politics, you don't know nothing about anything other than your particle accelerator, which could destroy the world. You freaking idiots.
Yeah, no, that's, I believe in that as well, is you have to be multifaceted and learn different arts. And, you know, that could be, you know, they used to teach the different arts, the seven liberal arts, you know, as far as, I believe it's here, literature, music, dance. I think that's, I don't know if I'm talking about all of them, but, oh, sorry about that. Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, no, I think it's important that we be multifaceted and we learn different things, and it helps us be more full and more balanced as people. And we need to learn about health, and we need to learn about, you know, astrology, and we need to learn about history. So if we start learning all these different things and studying them, it makes us more knowledgeable in different areas. And I think that's important. It makes you more intelligent, where you're able to reason, as opposed to just knowing one specific subject very well, and that's all you do, and you don't do nothing else. So I agree that you become an idiot if you just study one thing and become very good at one thing only.
Yeah, which is probably what would explain a lot of the lawyers and doctors that I've spoken to that don't seem that bright despite 7 years of schooling.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole purpose, right, to go to school that long sometimes. And I feel like that's also in the medical field here in America. It's not healing anymore. It seems like it's killing, you know.
Drugging.
Yeah, it's drugging. They're just masking the symptoms, as opposed to curing the problem or what is causing them. So we have basically this system that just keeps, you know, drugging these people up with these various kinds of drugs and making these drug companies a lot of money. And they're essentially really killing the people over time if they keep taking these drugs. And a lot of them are addicting. And, you know, our whole system's kind of built on that. Over 500,000 people here in America died last year because of the U.S. medical system, whether that be from medications or whether that be malpractice. So almost a million, well, not almost a million, 500,000 people died, and that's on record.
That's so on record. Crazy. That's just the properly prescribed medications. I've got the article in Uncensored Magazine here, Attack of the Medical System. According to their statistics, they're the second leading cause of death, but that only includes that which is properly prescribed. That's all the stuff that isn't an accident. If you add on all the unintended consequences, vaccine reactions and what have you, and the unreported incidences and things of that nature, then it's the leading cause of death. So, you think about this. This is part of my philosophy. Everything from an official source is the direct opposite of what it says that it is. It's the health system. So, obviously, it's there to make you unhealthy and or kill you, right? And that's how they keep their bank accounts healthy. Now, think about a drug dealer, okay? Drug dealer walks into your house and he says, I've got this drug. It'll make you high. It'll get you off the wall. You're just going to love it. And he goes, sweet ass, here's my money. I'm going to go and enjoy this drug. And then you do that. You have your experience. You really enjoy it. And then, unfortunately, you get addicted to the substance. And before you know it, instead of the drug dealer coming to see you, you're going to go see the drug dealer because It's not that you want his drugs. It's that you need them so that you don't go through horrific withdrawal symptoms. Now, imagine that that drug dealer ain't wearing a hoodie or a black jacket, hasn't got little baggies and tinfoil wrapped goodies for you. He's wearing a lab coat and has a pen and paper, and he gets you to buy the drugs through him, but not off him, and sends you somewhere else to another person who's part of his clique to purchase your drugs off, for which you get addicted and keep coming back until you're dead.
Well, do you know where the word pharmacy comes from?
Poison manufacturer?
Essentially. It comes from a Greek word called pharmakia, and it's basically the meaning in Greek is sorcerer. So our English word pharmacy comes from a word that in Greek means sorcerer. And the last time I checked, sorcerers weren't these great guys looking to make us better. They're actually kind of those evil guys making these potions. You know, and I look at these numbers, you know, and the numbers that you're just talking about from this magazine, and it is a system that is not here to make us healthy. And now we have this knowledge. So in the past, we used to be our own doctors, and that was part of being a Gnostic, is listening to yourself and to what was wrong with your body and being aware of what you put in your body and the reactions that you might have, whether that be through your bowels or when you go to the bathroom, whatever it might be, or a cough, and you start paying attention to all this stuff. And when something would happen, you make adjustments, or you know, you put the proper plants and herbs and chemicals into your body that aren't poisons and are going to kill you. You know, we were our own doctors, and now we left it in the hands of someone else, this outside entity, this guy in a white coat, you know, and you said with this little pen, looks all official, you know, these officials that are killing a million people a year or whatever the number is. It's crazy. So now that I know this knowledge, I'm hell-bent on being as healthy as I can, and I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to send my children to them. I want to do everything I can to make sure I'm healthy, where I don't get any of these diseases. And most of it deals with what we eat and what we drink.
Yeah, that's right. Let food be thy medicine, and let medicine be thy food. That was Hippocrates, who came up with the Hippocratic Oath, for which you first do no harm. Now, if people were to treat the medical system as it should be treated, you see a serial killer in front of you, you recognize his face from a mugshot, or something of that nature, and you know that invariably most of the time that he has relationships with people, he kills them, okay, in a brutal fashion. Now, imagine if you applied that mentality, because you see a serial killer walking down the road, what do? You call the cops, and you run away at the same time. So it would be quite amusing, I think, if you saw doctors in white lab coats just, you know, walking down the street, ha, 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 and then you see these children like running away from them, like, you know, little pigtails flying in the breeze and what have you, little lunch pails and stuff.
You know, that's my dream. That's really my dream of the revolution. You know, if there's ever one in this world, as far as the truth movement, is it's the overthrow of these people that mindlessly serve and do not know what they're giving to people, and just, you know, they're poisoning people and killing people. You know, I wrote about it on my blog a few months back. There was a doctor who actually here in America, I think he was in Connecticut, he prescribed $35 million worth of chemotherapy to people who didn't even have cancer. So you would come see this doctor, and because he wanted to be rich, he would tell you you have cancer, and then you would go under chemo, a poisonous thing that kills people sometimes, and people did die from these treatments so he could get rich. So if this is one guy...
Roughly 97% of people who do chemo don't survive it.
Wow. So there's just one example of one guy that got caught, and the incentives are money. So there again, you know, the evil from money and a profit-based system. So when you have a medical system that's based on profit, right there it's going to be corrupt. You know, we have to have a system that's not based on profits. It has to put the earth and humans before profits.
I remember Ron Paul talking about when he used to deliver babies. He's delivered well over 1,000 children or something like that. And he was telling an interviewer how much he was earning at that time. And he was getting like a dollar per delivery, roughly, right? Doctors used to get paid bugger all for doing the right thing. And I think that's where that's really where it should, what it should all be about. You don't need a hell of a lot of money to survive. Just do the right thing and frickin' help people, mate. And I can assure you, even if there's no monetary reward in it, it's worth it. Thank you, Mo, for bailing me out today and joining me for this wonderful conversation. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And we will see you again sometime, no doubt. GnosticWarrior.com and LoneSafe.com.